I was looking at the time, and I was thinking, I'll make sure we get out at 6:30 for you, all right? No. We'll get out a little early tonight, but that's okay. Thank you for those who are here. Excited for the day. The CDC recommended a 3 to 6 feet, not a 15 to 20. I just thought I'd mention that to anybody. But it's good. I'm glad you're here. Tonight's message won't be an in-depth message. It'll be a very practical message. But practical messages do have a lot to it. They do. And sometimes we forsake a simple, practical message that we should be following and should be listening to, that we oftentimes neglect. And so tonight's message, like I said, it won't be very in-depth, kind of Bible study, kind of anything of that nature. It'll be very practical, something very simple. And I have this themed, where is your focus? That's tonight's message, where is your focus? And my message, as I was praying for this message, did come with all that's taking place in our world today and kind of bring us back to a place where we should be focusing on. And our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be talking about why our focus is on Jesus Christ, because when we take our focus off of the Lord, we forsake the things that we've been called to do in our prayer life, our Bible study, the ministry of seeing lost people come to know Christ. When we get caught up in such a pandemic of this world and all the things that are taking place, we tend to lose focus at times. And tonight's message, as I said, is where is our focus at? Two places we're going to be at. We're going to be in Proverbs 16, and we're going to be in Revelation chapter 12. Two passages that when we first read, we won't read them quite yet. I want you to actually go to Revelation 12 first. That's where we're going to be. We're not going to read it quite yet. But they're going to be two passages of scriptures. When we read these passages of scripture, they may not make a whole lot of sense. Why'd you take these two verses and bring them together? But I'll explain those reasonings as we go through the message. I want to start it off tonight with an example. We had just gotten back from vacation. I told my wife I'd find a way to incorporate this in my message. We had gotten back from vacation. It was a great time. We had a lot of time to get away, just get away from home and get away from, this may seem weird, but church. You know, church can be difficult at times. It can be stressful at times. It's a blessing. And it's an encouragement to be involved in church and doing the work of the Lord. But it can be a bearing at some times. It can be a burden at times, you know, having to prepare for messages all the time and those kind of different things. So it was a nice time to get out and relax and eat a lot of food. Me and Barry were talking, I'm not going to eat for the rest of this year since I'm off vacation. I probably gained 10 pounds and the gyms are closed, so I'm stuck with it, you know, I'm stuck with the weight. But we went to Paula Deen's, and if you go down to Pigeon Forge, Paula Deen's seemed to be one of the restaurants. We actually went twice, and I've told this story to several people this morning, but as we went to Paula Deen's, you know, they seated us and everything like that, and like any typical restaurant, they always ask you what drink, and I'm looking at the menu, and I see this Georgia peach tea, all right? Yeah, exactly, and that was my reaction, so I'm thinking, well, I'm going to give it a shot. Before you know it, I went through two glasses before we even got our food. That's how good this peach tea was. It was so good. I could not stop drinking it. It was that good. By the time we were done eating our food, I had went through six glasses working on my seventh. When we were done eating, there was a shop downstairs. I went downstairs and bought two cases of that Georgia peach tea. I think I paid almost $20, maybe more. $24 on peach tea. That's how good this stuff was. Well, just like anything else, it's got what? A lot of sugar in it, right? It's packed with sugar. Just shortly after, I remember I was telling them, I'm saying, guys, I can't eat anymore. I can't drink. I can't do anything. And the whole picture of that is this. We sometimes, in this world, we get so caught up in what's taking place when in reality we're just feeding our belly. We're feeding our belly and we're not feeding our spiritual life. We get so caught up in this world. We get so caught up in the politics and the society and the generations that are taking place when we have lost focus of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the whole picture of that is this. Man, that tea was good. It was so good, I could not stop drinking the peach tea. And before you know it, it was hurting me afterward. You see, and what we do is this. When we take our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ and we get so caught up in this world, it tends to hurt our spiritual life. All of a sudden, we're not spending the amount of time in church like we should. All of a sudden, we're not reading our Bible daily like we should. All of a sudden, we're not spending time in prayer like we should. And we're not telling people that if you died today, lost, there is a punishment that is going to be paid. And you did not put your trust in Jesus Christ. And we lose focus on the things of God. And we get so drawn into the world and into society, we have lost focus. Tonight, where is your focus? Is your focus on Jesus? Listen, I know with everything going on, and we'll be talking about that later on, it can become a struggle at times to get focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there's an old saying, ignorance on fire and stale on ice. Ignorance on fire and stale on ice. We'll be talking about that here in just a minute. I've actually used this in a message before. But when we lose focus, what happens is this. New believers, when they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they get zealous for the Lord. They get excited about Jesus Christ. But just like you and I understand, when you become a new believer in Christ, you don't know a whole lot about doctrine. You don't know a whole lot about the Word of God. And that's why it's so important to get involved in a local church and become discipled, or allow yourself to be discipled, so that you can learn the scriptures. Man, I remember when I first knew Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I first accepted him into my heart, I understood and knew, man, I have a home in heaven, but I didn't know the word like I do now. I didn't understand the importance of a local church. I didn't understand baptism like I do today. I didn't understand things like why we ought to gather together as an assembly. I didn't understand all those things. It wasn't until I started reading the scriptures and sitting under the pastor and going through Sunday school and hearing all these lessons and seeing the word and being taught to me until I could finally understand what was taking place. And what happens with new believers is sometimes they get so excited about the Lord, they tend to put their emotions and feelings above God and above his word. And there's a danger to that. There's a mass danger to that. That's why we teach as a Bible or as a church, as Hilltop Baptist Church, we teach the importance of being involved in church, coming to every service so that you can learn God's word. There are new believers who receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but before you know it, you never see them again because they get caught up in other nonsense. But man, they're zealous for the Lord. All they want to do is tell people about Jesus. All they want to do is they want to be involved. They want to get excited, but they don't know any better at times. And sometimes they make rational decisions that get them in trouble and feed their belly rather than feeding their spiritual life. But those are for new believers. Veteran believers, people who have been in church for a long time, who have studied the word for a long time, who've been involved in ministry for a long time, oftentimes become stale in their work. Oftentimes, they don't become as excited like a new believer would. Oftentimes, they start backing down from ministry a little bit. And regardless of your age, regardless of how much of a veteran you are in the ministry, you're still here. And if you're still here, you still have a work to be done. There's still a work to be done. There are still people who need saving. There are still people in the church who need discipling. There are still folks that need to be involved. And when you make the excuse by saying, well, I've been doing ministry for a long time, it's time for me to back away, that's not a good excuse, and that doesn't give you a reason to back off. There are still folks who need to know Christ and who still need to learn the Word of God. So as veterans in Christ, we have an obligation of discipleship. Teaching folks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching folks doctrine, teaching folks the importance of the assembly of the church. And regardless of your age and regardless of how much of a veteran you are, there's still a work that needs to be done for Christ. There's still a work that needs to be done. The Fairfield community, there are lost people in Fairfield community. In our community alone, we have people who need to know Christ. So, where is your focus? We have to get our focus back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we ignorance on fire or are we stale on ice? Young folks, we have an obligation to be excited for the Lord. That's a good thing. But we have to do it under the leadership of ministry leaders. And older folks, people, and I'm not just talking about age, I'm talking about just veterans in the church who have spent a good amount of time in the church. We have an obligation to still be active, still do the work, and disciple folks. We need to be active. We need to be doing those things. We need to be in unity. So I said before, go to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to read both verses, but we're going to stay in Revelation 12. And if you're able to, please stand in honor of the Word of God as we read this message. I'll be reading one verse from Revelation 12 and one verse from Proverbs 16. But in Revelation 12, verse 9, here's what the Bible says. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. As you flip to Proverbs 16:3, here's what the Bible says. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for just allowing me to come up here and present your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you ask the Holy Spirit of God to bring me to remembrance your word. Give me the thoughts and the words and the knowledge that I need to present your message with truth and with accuracy. And Lord, I pray as we go about this service, Lord, that we lift your name on high and we turn to you and we hear what your word has to say and we take it and we apply it to our life. We live daily by your word and we spend time with you and we walk as you would have us to walk, Lord. And Lord, I pray as we just go about our day and we go about our week and we go about our life that we continue to serve you and live for you in your most precious and powerful name. Amen. As I said before, two passages, we'll be bringing them together. But before we get our focus back on Christ, we need to understand that the devil deceiveth the whole world. That's his goal. He is to take people who either be lost or saved and draw them as far as he can away from God. By the way, he can take saved people and draw them away from God. And in doing so, what that prevents is this. That saved individual now being drawn away from God, still having a relationship with Christ, but isn't involved in church like they should be. Not doing the works that they should be. And we'll be talking about that later on as well. But Satan himself, by the way, he is not omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. And sometimes what we do is this. We blame Satan in our life for things that are taking place when in reality it may not even be Satan himself. It could be our flesh. It could be who we are. And we're just trying to find some way to blame the devil. When in reality the devil may have done nothing to us in that very moment. Now don't misunderstand. The devil has a strong influence. His influence is worldwide. All right? I happen to believe, and this is just my opinion, and I can be wrong, but I think the devil's influence had a play in modern versions. It's just an opinion. I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. But the reason why we have so many different versions outside of the King James, I think it is a part of Satan's influence and what he has done, trying to deceive others about God's word. And we can see that in Scripture. We can see the devil himself and how he has twisted Scripture all the way back from Adam and Eve. He twisted God's word. He twisted it when he tempted Christ himself. The devil's influence is so strong, and we have to understand he deceiveth the whole world. We understand this. In 1 John 2:16, the three temptations of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He used those three methods against Eve. He used those three methods against Christ himself. The devil has been around a whole lot longer than you and I have. He has studied our life. He has watched our every movement. He is looking at us, seeing what we're weak at and what we're strong at. He is ready to attack at any moment. His influence is strong. His armies are strong. And at any moment, he can attack you and tempt you and draw you away from God at any moment. And when you and I pass from this world onto the next, Satan will still be around. He will still be here. His influence, him himself, is strong, and he deceiveth the whole world. That is his goal, to draw people away from God. He is the great deceiver. He will take lost and saved people and draw them as far away from God as he can. This is the importance of reading the Scriptures. This is the importance of reading the Scriptures. As I said, he says here, and understand this, in Revelation 12, 9, I understand this is a specific event. I didn't want to take this. Basically, what was happening in here, I'll just give you a rundown because this wasn't the point of the message. But in this specific moment, the archangel Michael had, during the middle of the tribulation, the 3.5 years, the Antichrist had defiled the temple, the abomination of desolation has taken place, and there's a war in heaven, and archangel Michael has cast Satan onto the earth. in this very, in Revelation 12 is what you're reading about. But in Revelation 12, 9, the reason why I bring this up is because we see a characteristic of the devil, and that is he deceiveth the whole world. And it wasn't just in the time of tribulation that he deceiveth the whole world. He does that now. He is currently trying to deceive people and draw them away from Christ. And we see the importance of reading the scriptures. What is the importance of reading the word of God? What does that have to do with Satan? What and his deception? Well, we all are very familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16 and chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's so important to understand the word of God because the devil himself deceiveth the whole world. That's his whole purpose. But as you see here in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is the things that we do, what we believe in, why we believe in a local, or why we believe in baptism the way we do, why we believe in the importance of a local church, why we believe sanctification and justification and the atonement. Why, all those things is based off of doctrine and what we believe on those things. It comes from the word of God. And if we don't establish ourselves in doctrine, we'll get so caught up in what's taking place in this world. He also says for reproof. And reproof and correction, now those are almost kind of one and the same. They are a little different. Reproof is to rebuke what's wrong, all right? And correction is more of an action part of it, correcting an action. But then he says instruction in righteousness. And this is how we are to live righteously. I teach this in my class all the time, what righteousness is. Righteousness is not based off of what you and I think is good. It's based off of what the word of God says is right. And we see that in Isaiah 64, verse 6. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. God's righteousness is his word. And when we are trying to do right, we need to do what the word of God has instructed us to do. And so we have to have we have to know the word of God. The devil deceiveth the whole world. He deceiveth the whole world. And if we don't know what the Bible says, we ourselves will be deceived. We'll be caught up in what's taking place in this world. Why did Paul instruct Timothy so much? Hey, in regard to sound doctrine, he told him to forsake the ministering questions and all those fables and genealogies and all those different things. He warned him about the world. He warned him about the false gods and the false doctrine and the world and the culture and all those things that were taking place. He warned him about those things. It's our obligation as a church to warn you that these things are real and they're prevalent in our day today. And Satan uses these things to draw people out of true biblical churches. He does. You and I both know that the world is an entertainment business. Churches are becoming more entertainment. Man, you got concerts taking place. You got non-King James being read that teach false doctrine. They do. They do. We have churches that are preaching that you can come as you are. We're taking holiness out of it. We're taking purity out of the churches. It's okay for unmarried couples to live together. We're teaching these things and the world is buying into it. I have another example for you. The devil himself has a way of using music. By the way, I think if you talk to anybody, I think if there's one thing anybody can agree on is that music has played a role in somebody's life in some way or fashion. We all listen to music to some degree, and I would pray and hope that we're listening to the right kind of music. But Satan has a way of using music to influence people. I was doing this study with my teenagers couple Sundays ago. You know, our world, people listen to music every day. Statistics show that most people, on an average, listen 25 to 30 hours of music a week. A week. And you know, we do that. We listen to music all the time. And I'll explain why I'm bringing this up. That's so important. The devil has a way of playing the world into our children's ear. Most of the older people won't get this, but Jay-Z, does anybody know who that is? All right, I hope you don't listen to him, all right? But he's a modern-day rapper, all right? That's what he is. And the reason why I bring that up is this. During every concert, supposedly from my reading, every concert, this rapper, he has the people stand up, put their hands up, and call him Hova. Well, Hova is short for Jehovah. They're basically, what he's doing is he's asking the people to stand up, raise their hands, and call him Jehovah. claim to him be God. That's the kind of music our children are listening to. Here's another one, Carrie Underwood. Hold on just a minute. Jesus, take the wheel. She'll sing a song about baptism. I get it. But then the very next song, she's half naked chasing boys. It's true. Now, I'm not trying to bash Carrie Underwood, all right? I'm not trying to bash Carrie Underwood. But I hope you're getting the picture. And here's what we do. Our teenagers and our young folks have their earbuds in their ear 24/7. And what we are seeing is this: the world is preaching 25 to 30 hours into our children's ear, yet they come to church for Sunday for 2 hours and they get the word preached to them maybe 2 hours. Yet the world is being taught in their ear 30 hours a week. And we wonder why our children are no longer seeing the importance of church and no longer seeing the importance of holy living and living a pure life. It's because the world is being taught and preached in their ear for 30 hours a week. And then we want to question our children. We want to question why our society is the way it is. And then we look at the phone and we think, what are they going on their phone? What are they doing? What are they watching on TV? The world is being preached in our children's ear, and sometimes we never even know it. Yet they'll get maybe 2 to 3 hours a week hearing the Word of God. It's true. The devil deceiveth the whole world. Not just lost people in the church. In fact, if you read in Revelation in one of the churches, he even says that he has a seat in the church. The devil's in the church. Our church is not perfect. We understand that. We know that. We are sinners, saved by the grace of God. We need Jesus Christ daily. We need to be washed every day. We need to study his word daily. Why do you think he instructs us to meditate on his word? By the way, I had done this with my Sunday school class. There are three aspects when in regard to the reading of the word of God. There's reading the word, which is where you literally sit down and you just read the word. In your mornings or at your night, however you do your readings, there needs to be time in your life where you just read the word. Then there are times where you need to study his word. Studying his word is where you are all of a sudden start taking doctrine, you start applying it to other things, and you start cross-referencing it. That's studying his word, more of an in-depth kind of understanding. But then there's meditating on his word. And meditating on his word is when you take God's word and throughout your day you're constantly meditating on it. What did I read this morning? When I read in Matthew chapter 5, am I thinking about what I read in Matthew chapter 5? Am I trying to memorize the scriptures? That's meditating on the word. As you go throughout your day, you need to meditate upon his word. That way it helps you get these evil thoughts and all this wickedness out of your brain. The devil deceiveth the whole world. We need to take the importance of reading God's word, studying it, meditating on it serious. We do. We need to take it serious. If we don't take it serious, the devil is going to preach right in our ear. He's going to preach in your ear. Go to Proverbs chapter 16, and I want you to see this. So we find, and we can conclude very clearly, that the devil deceiveth the whole world. He's trying to take our focus off of Christ. And in Proverbs 16:3, he says this: commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And so much is going on inside the church and outside of the church. We can talk about work, and we can talk about the stress of work and how it bears on us. We can talk about family. Family can be hard at times, and it can be a drag at times. And we can talk about how, man, we have to make all these errands after work, and we have to go do this, and we have to go do that. Life can be tough. It can be a struggle at times. And then we get inside the church, and sometimes inside the church we get a lot of gossip. We get a lot of backbiting. We get a lot of abuse. Anybody who's spent any amount of time in church understands that. These things happen. Life can be difficult, and life can be hard. I was teaching this morning in Matthew that the Bible talks about that the sun rises on the evil and the good, and it rains on the just and the unjust. Things happen to saved and lost people because we live in a sin-cursed world. The reality is that our work and our outside of church and inside of church, it can be difficult at times, but our focus has to be on Christ. Remember, I told you, this is going to be a practical message. But sometimes we take practical messages and we think, well, there's no big deal. I need to learn more, when we're not even really focusing on Christ. It can be difficult. Life is going to be hard. It is going to hurt the saved. It's going to hurt the lost people. Folks, the ground that we walk on is sin. We saw that with Adam back in Genesis. The Bible says this, and I'll reread 2 Timothy 3:17. The Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When he says unto all good works, we have an obligation to understand we have to be spending time in his word. We just talked about the importance of that. We need to be spending time in prayer. What's your prayer life like? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you inviting folks to church? Are you living a holy life? The ministry of reconciliation was given to us in 1 Corinthians. We are told to see lost people get reconciled with the Lord. That was the ministry we've been given. Folks, it is going to be difficult. It's going to be a bear at times, but our focus has to still remain on Christ. Listen, we're living in a day right now, currently, right now that's affecting you and I both. And while we can get caught up in the politics, and we can get caught up in the culture and the generation movement and all that's taking place, and don't misunderstand, I'm not saying don't be concerned, I'm not saying don't not take care and pay attention, but our focus can't be on those things. You know, there's still people dying, and they're dying lost. And we lose our focus on that at times. And we get so caught up in what we want, what we can take. We had gotten back from vacation, and Mallory and I, we had to go grocery shopping. Well, we've been gone all week, so I didn't know how it was going to be. I didn't know. I've only seen pictures and everything that people were telling us. I come back, I was amazed. Amazed. And man, my focus got off track real quick. All of a sudden, now I'm worried about toilet paper and rice and all these different things that we buy on a daily basis. But I lose track when I should be focusing on Christ. All of a sudden, I'm caught up calling Mallory. She sent me, go figure, grocery shopping alone. We got no toilet. There's no toilet paper. I mean, it's a real deal. Hey, do we got rice at home? Because there's no rice here. And we lose focus. We lose focus on what we should be looking towards, Christ. We lose focus. You know, we all heard of this saying, if it tells you more than twice in the Bible, it's probably important. Well, when you read in John chapter 15, verse 4, we see the word abide a couple of times, more than twice. And so I got to think there's a lot of importance to this. But in John 15, 4, look what the Bible says. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. We have an obligation to live as Christ had lived. We need to live for him, focus on him. We need to draw our attention to him. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, I've been told stories that when somebody who gets drunk, they lose their thoughts, they lose their words, they lose their actions. It's completely dictated their life. And he's making an example in Ephesians where he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He's saying, allow the Holy Spirit move you like that. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to dictate your words. Allow the Holy Spirit of God dictate your thoughts. Allow the Holy Spirit of God dictate your actions. We need to be living for Christ and abide in him. We have become new creatures in Christ. Do not get focused on what's taking place in this world. Our focus needs to be on Christ. You look in the book of Acts, and you see guys like Paul, and Silas, and Barnabas, and Aquila, and Priscilla, and John Mark, and Peter. You see all these guys. And if you remember, and I'm sure everybody who's done any kind of study knows what was taking place in their time, the law of persecution by Rome was taking place. These men were being killed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet in the book of Acts, what you find is this. You see these men going around building up churches, building up preachers, building up pastors, sending guys out, doing the work that they were called to do, and yet they were being persecuted. You see, because their focus wasn't on the Roman law. Their focus was on Christ. You and I, we're living in, it seems like right now, in this very moment, things are closing down and they're taking their course and they're taking our action. Our focus can't be on that. Our focus needs to be guys like Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark and these men that were going out building churches and seeing cities upside down, seeing revivals take place. Our focus still needs to be on Christ. Where is your focus at? Where is your focus at? As I was saying before, we see that the devil deceiveth the whole world. He does that. He plans on doing that, and he will do that. He's watched our life. He's studied us. He knows who we are, and he knows our weaknesses, and he knows our strength. Every individual in this world has been tempted at some point in their life. And to some degree, whatever that temptation was, there are small temptations, there are big temptations. But if your focus is on Christ, you can overcome it. You see, you and I, we can't conquer the devil. Christ did that on the cross. Christ conquered that. In fact, if you go all the way back in Genesis, he prophesied it. All right, he made a prophecy that Satan was doomed. You and I can only battle against Satan. Satan has already been defeated. He's a defeated creature. Satan is a defeated creature. Right now, this very moment, Satan is already defeated. Our focus needs to be on Christ. The only one that conquered and defeated the devil was Christ. And so our focus should be on the one who defeated him. And to battle against his armies, and to battle against this world, and to battle against the flesh, our focus needs to be on Christ. Let us not get caught up in this world. I'm going to reread chapter 16, verse 3. He says, commit thy works unto the Lord. And we already talked about that, the works. Very basic, really. But the most basic things in Scripture tend to be what? The hardest things to do at times. The most basic things in Scriptures tend to be the hardest things to do. You read the book of James. James isn't all that hard to read. But man, is it hard to apply to your life? Is it hard to apply to your life? You and I have all read James. Easy book. Nothing hard. But it's difficult. It's difficult to live by, isn't it? The most basic things in Scripture tend to be the hardest things to live by. And even moving our focus from the world to Christ can be difficult at times. Because we get so caught up in what the world is preaching and what the world is teaching and what's taking place. Our focus. Man, it sounds easy, doesn't it? But it can be difficult. It can be difficult to get our focus back from the world to Christ. And he says, so we already talked about the works. And he says, thy thoughts shall be established. When we focus on Christ, and we refocus on what he has done for us, our thoughts then will be made established. We understand and know that, hey, we got to get back to the work that needs to be done. We got to get back to seeing people come to know Christ. We got to get back to, where is your spiritual life? You know, I'll be out real honest with you. On vacation, you don't spend a whole lot of time reading your Bible like you do outside of vacation. You don't spend a whole lot of time praying like you probably should. It's a vacation. Right? Vacation's an excuse. No, it's not. It's really not. I should have still been spending the amount of time in prayer and Bible study like I would if I wasn't on vacation. Yeah, vacation's nice. It gets you out. But it took my focus off of Christ. It took my focus off of Christ. It's not easy all the time. And so as we see here in the Scriptures, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Let us refocus back to the Lord. I told you we'd get done early. Very practical, very simple message. And as Mallory come up and play a song, I know many are at home, hopefully watching this online, and I know there are some here. But let's pray that we get refocused on Christ and not what's taking place in the world. As I said before, things are taking place. We have an obligation to watch and just hear what's being said and take precautions. But our goal and our mission must always be seeking Christ, following him and loving him as he has instructed us to do. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord God, I understand and know that there are many who could preach this message a whole lot better than I could. But Lord, I pray as we go about our day and as we go about our business, Lord, that we put our focus towards you. We love you. We live for you. We serve you. We are called the servants that we're called to be. We do all the things that we should be doing. Reading our Bibles, praying, and doing all of the things that seem so simple, but difficult at times. Lord, I pray that we just serve you and we focus on you and you alone. In your most precious and powerful name, amen.
as we stand, sing a song of invitation. You know, it's an interesting thing. He was talking about Satan and